Spirits were high at Pride celebrations across the country this past weekend due to the landmark passing of the Marriage Equality Act in New York, granting same-sex couples full marriage benefits. But even here in Chicago, where vandals slashed the tires on 51 floats scheduled to be in the Pride Parade, the mood was still incredible. Despite the lack of floats advertising the latest cough syrup and mortgage refinancing services, the parade rolled right along and everyone once again discovered the true meaning of pride.
Stupid haters, everyone knows if you want to stop any celebration, cut off the supply of booze. Joining us today for a live music session are the hunky and delicious Jeremiah Clark and his pal, Brandon Anderson, who just wrapped up a 20-city tour across the country.
Listen as we talk with Brandon about lost love, and Jeremiah tells us about his kooky southern mom, Terry, who named her dog Cooter.
Plus, all the hot news. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich has been found guilty of trying to sell President Obama's former Senate seat.
CeeLo Green dresses up in drag as Patti LaBelle for a tribute to the soulful diva at this year's BET Awards.
Four sex changes on baby girls in India.
A new genderless preschool in Sweden.
And a Russian cat gets caught barking like a dog.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Fahu, four A's, Dahu, door A's. Welcome, Pride, Pride, come this way. The Grinch who tried to steal Pride was unsuccessful. Tires were slashed, and Pride Parade floats were prevented from marching, from parading, or floating down the Chicago Pride Parade. 51 of the 71 Pride Parade's floats were kept from going, and yet people said it was the best one yet. And I think it's because most of the floats were in it.
51 were kept from going, or 51s were slashed and then several of them didn't make it? Because I know that they did a lot of like last minute repair work and tried to get a bunch of the floats out there.
The warehouse general manager, Chuck Huser, said each float had two tires slashed and there were no signs of who was to blame. And then at the crack of dawn, the general manager found an auto garage that was able to sell him $4,000 worth of tires. He recruited extra help in changing them and managed to get some of them out the door, but a vast majority were not able to do it. So wow. There you go.
Wow.
But still, nonetheless, like, it was remarkable. And here we are on the Feast of Fun, surrounded by two gorgeous, talented musicians. Jeremiah Clark, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. How you doing, honey?
Hey, y'all.
It's good to see you.
Most recently of Pittsburgh. You're a Pittsburgh boy now, aren't you?
I am. 6 years and counting.
Now, I would just lie to people and say you're from Memphis all the time.
What's wrong with Pittsburgh? I like Pittsburgh. I have two sisters that live there.
Because Memphis is, has... not that Pittsburgh has anything wrong with it, but Memphis is like, has that...
It has that music flair to it.
The trashy southern heat.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh has its own heat. It's just different, It's kind of like...
It's forged steel.
Yeah, it's steel versus, the southern, the what is it, the that TV show that we're... The vampire TV show that everybody loves. Sucking. The True Blood,
That's further down the Mississippi.
But it's a southern thing going there, So welcome to Feast of Fun. We haven't seen you forever.
Thank you for having me. It's
and
great
you're touring
to be back
around the country here with your boyfriend, Brandon Anderson. Are you guys together?
Don't get me in trouble.
No.
Oh, you have a boyfriend.
I do have a boyfriend, yeah.
And you have a boyfriend now, too.
No, I'm single.
Oh, Now, Brandon, you went to high school with Tom Goss, who you guys have heard on the show, his brother.
Right.
And all of you guys were all in the closet, so you never were able to date Tom Goss or anything like that.
It's true. I never got my chance.
That's too bad. But you were in gymnastics with Tom Goss's brother.
Yeah, with his brother Phil. We were in gymnastics together.
Did you have a crush on his brother?
No. I don't think so.
You don't think so? But did you have a crush on anybody?
I don't think I had any crushes.
Because Tom's listening to this, so...
I know. I'm sure he has. I was still...
You must have had a crush on Tom.
I never actually met Tom. Well, maybe I saw him in the gym, because I'm sure... I mean, he was doing gymnastics then, too.
Sure.
But he was not in the group that I was in. because he was older.
No crushes in high school on anybody.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
And their names are... I'm kind of curious, you know, because I was like, we always have this picture of what Tom Goss's high school was like, you know, as chaotic and hellish. But
I don't know if I've ever thought about it.
Well, you know, because he went from being a gymnastics wrestling. Oh, no, he was a wrestling guy. And then he went into being into the priesthood, and then he got into folk music.
And then he became a bear poster child.
A bear chaser poster child.
Well, I was just raised Mormon there, so I had my
own.
You
were?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That makes you even hotter. Oh, my goodness.
I never did the mission, though, so I never got the underwear, unfortunately.
Oh, do you have to do the mission to get the underwear?
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't collect any underwear?
But, you know, that sense of restraint and sexual compulsive carries in your blood, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And the you guys have been touring. You did 20 cities in 4 weeks, and you sort of like wrapping it up here in Chicago for Pride.
Yes.
But you weren't here on Sunday, though, for it.
No, we got in town on Monday, and we did a show Monday night, like a post-Pride kind of show.
Wasn't it remarkable that, I mean, we've had a really incredible weekend. New York City just passed marriage equality, full equality, equality. You can get married, babies.
Hey.
Now, people are asking is like, what does that mean for people in other states and marriage equality? It is still yet to be decided or recognized whether a gay couple or same-sex couple that gets married in New York and other states that also have it legal. Will they be recognizing other states as marriage equalities?
Well, I think here in Illinois, where we have civil unions, they'll recognize it because I believe that somebody who got married someplace else is actually getting a divorce here.
Really?
Yeah, some kind of gay divorce.
One of the listeners of the show?
No, not a listener of the show that I'm aware of.
Wow.
Maybe he listens. I don't know. I read it in a news item.
Man. So, well, it just... Like our listener in Canada, who got... No, he's now in the UK, Wayne.
He's in the UK, but he sent me something. He's begging for people to write to the Attorney General in Canada and say, please recognize this marriage so he can get divorced, so he can have his legal rights.
Because he can't actually even get divorced at this point, because he's kind of like in this... what is the Catholic
legal
term?
Legal limbo.
The purgatory.
Well, limbo.
A limbo, where he can't really like be free from it because it's not being recognized in the places that he's living. And so that's really where the next step in the fight for marriage equality is, as these states move forward and pass it. And especially New York City and California, two of the most populous states in the nation, are now, you know, full marriage equality is happening. So we'll see how that affects everybody as they move around the country.
Yeah, we'll see.
But everybody was so happy and jubilant. I mean, you can hear the exhaustion in our voices today.
My voice is still a little scratchy from the screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering that we had. But, you know, I feel bad for the people that spent money on those floats and that they just weren't able to get them out there. But I think most people didn't even really notice that there was any difference.
I actually noticed that there was a lot more foot traffic. Mm-hmm. And I actually like just seeing people walking down the street and acting funny and crazy and kooky, you know. It's like, because the problem with a lot of these floats is like it's ad after ad after ad after ad, right. And it's just like, really, do you want to, you know? But it was a record turnout. They had more people watching the Pride parade than people live in Memphis or Detroit or
well, there's 750,000 people they think showed up.
Wow.
I swear to God, half the people that marching in the Pride parade were some kind of religious organizations. So the Churchy McChurchy people really stepped up this year and were like, we're not going to take this hate any longer.
Honey, the Unitarian Church of North Chicago, where Jesus is a metaphor for anal sex.
Oh.
It's true. If you know any universal
Unitarians.
I used to work for one of those churches, actually.
Really?
And in high school, back in the day when I was living in Memphis, I was one of the music directors for one of those churches.
And they were like a gay affirming church?
Well, down south, you just don't talk about it. So,
but everybody that's plays Jeremiah. The piano in church is gay, right?
I mean, did you get any like action as the music, as the basically the choir director of your church?
Action, no. Most of our congregation were like 50 plus.
Oh, so you were like the hot young thing, and they were all like, I want you to work on my singing abilities, Jeremiah.
So the silver foxes weren't out after you.
No, God, no.
I want to do a big shout out to your mom, Terry, who's listening from her trailer park in Memphis.
She doesn't live in a trailer.
No, it's a community home system.
Oh, is that what it is?
No.
What is the term called? When, like, people don't want to be called that they're living in trailer parks anymore. They're like community homes, or
it's like a mobile home or a prefab, something like that.
But I live in a prefabricated home.
Oh, my house was built in a warehouse, and then they ship it to me. Oh, it's so beautiful in my front lawn with no foundation.
But your mom, she's down south.
She's real southern.
She's Tennessee.
She's Tennessee, but she's weird. It's like she doesn't just have a southern accent. She has a southern accent mixed with like country and Cajun, even though we don't have any family that's Cajun. She kind of pulls influences from all over, so when she talks, it's like all of this stuff going on all at once.
What's your mom sound like? Because didn't she just recently got a dog, right?
Yeah, she just recently got a dog, and I was talking to her on the phone, and it's for my nephew who just turned 5, and I asked her on the phone, I said, well, what'd you name the dog? And she's like, she smokes. She's like, boy, I tell you what, we named that dog Cooter. And I was like, Cooter? Oh my God, why would you name a dog Cooter? And then she's like, well, you know, that Duke's a Hazard, boy. You remember Duke's a Hazard? I was like, Mother, Cooter means vagina. She's like, no, it don't. It don't mean no such thing. So
I think in the Duke's of Hazard, it was assumed that the reason that they called him Cooter is because he liked to eat pussy.
But some,
what?
I think that was like kind of inferred. Yeah, he was a ladies' man.
Some people don't kind of pick up on those innuendos, mm-hmm. and I think she didn't.
I knew what a cooter was probably till high school.
Yeah, but people in the South, they love to name their dogs after, you know, vaginas. They do. My grandmother, she had a dog. She had like 20 dogs, and they're all named Chiquita.
Oh.
Right, which means little in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't call it Chiquita. She called her dog Cooch.
Cooch. Nice.
And so she'd go to pick up my cousin's true story at the school, and the dog would run out of the car, and she'd go screaming, Cooch! Cooch!
Cooch! Where's my cooch?
And that's what
where's
I told my mom. I was like, my 5-year-old nephew's going to be outside screaming, Cooter! Cooter! They're going to think he's like a child prostitute or something.
Cooter! Where's my cooter? Where's my cooter? There you are.
They just changed the name, though. They changed it to Scooter because apparently some of the neighbors were complaining.
So. Oh, seriously? They were complaining over it?
Well,
I was just play ignorant.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean, Cooter? It's just Cooter.
You guys have your guitars here.
Yes.
And you guys look so lovely wearing nothing but your underwear. I do appreciate that.
Of course.
And so we're going to be recording these songs for you guys also on video, and you can watch them on YouTube, youtube.com/feastoffun. They'll be posted there first before they posted anywhere else. So if you don't subscribe to us on YouTube, you're missing quite a bit. So what's our first song that you're going to play for us, Jeremiah?
It's going to be called Understood with a question mark at the end.
Understood.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like after that monologue in Mommy Dearest.
Exactly.
Understand.
It's like understood.
The first word I ever heard was understand. You know what I'm talking about, though.
I do. It's been years, but I do remember that movie very clearly.
And I'm sure that influenced you on a subconscious level for the song, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Yes. Understood.
I will be who I am, I will be proud of it, I will make the most of every moment. There's no reason I should feel defeated, just because the way that I am treated. I will lift up my head, I will look to the sky, I will do what I need to live out my life. There's no benefit for not attempting. I will never go back to pretending. And I don't need to be understood. And I don't care if you think I should, because I can't be contained in this box you placed around me, the walls that are surrounding. I just wanna be loved like you. And I don't think I should have to prove that I also deserve the same rights you are receiving, the ones that you are keeping from me. I will hold his hand, I will kiss his face. We will do these things in a public place. I don't see the reason it's offensive. I don't feel the need to be censored. I will be his man, I will stand by him. We will do these things despite judgment. I won't waste all of my time guessing whether or not a blessing, and I don't need to be understood, and I don't care if you think I should, because I can't be contained in this box you place around me, the walls that are surrounding. I just wanna be loved like you, and I don't think I should have to prove that I also deserve those same rights you are receiving, the ones that you are keeping. Fuck this government, give us all the money that you spend on our behalf. Oh, the lives that you're still taking, we want them back. We will win what we came here to get, will in this war. It's our saying, not yours. And we don't need to be understood, and we don't care if you think we should, because we can't be contained in this box you place around us, the walls that are surrounding. We just wanna be loved like you, and we don't think we should have to prove that we also deserve the same rights you are receiving, the ones that you are keeping from us.
Understood.
General.
I like saying the name. I love like your use of language, because you know it's like Southern people are kind of like gay people. They like to emphasize certain words, mm-hmm. like understood. How, so, and your mama's doing good.
She's great.
What is your mom's name? Like it was Terry, right?
It's Terry with a Y. Yes.
Terry with a Y. Yeah. Hey, girl. What's going on? We got to get her on the show.
Oh, I know. We'll drive up.
Because you said she actually listens to the show. And like you've only been on the show once before. So she's listened since.
She has.
She's a regular listener. And then she like didn't pay her internet bill, so she stopped listening.
Yeah, she's on a hiatus.
Oh, girl, listen. It's like,
she actually, there's a phone number she can call. I forget what it is, but there's a phone number you can find on the website and you can
email
listen to
us.
The latest show.
Yeah, you email us and we'll send you the number. Mm-hmm. It's Mark don't know it off the top of his head. But anyways, we are in the, you know, we're actually in the process of not paying our internet bill.
Oh, yeah.
because we are struggling financially. We have thrown the gauntlet. It's just getting to the point that it's more expensive to produce the show than we are generating advertising dollars as the world's most downloaded gay and lesbian talk show. Feast of Fun. So we said, okay, so advertisers aren't bringing in the money. We need you, the listeners, to help pay for this. So we are throwing a challenge, 30,000 by August 1st. The thing about it is, as Andy in Germany says, it's like some people are just not willing or incapable of donating any kind of money for various circumstances, but the vast majority of the listeners can. And so we're just asking you to go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution. And right now we are at, where are we? We are at $7,325, almost a quarter of the way.
Wow.
Woo! Yeah!
That's not even July yet.
We are not even in July, okay? That was just Pride weekend, and I gotta say, I'm a little scared of the audience. Because mentally, I was ready to just, you know, say, it was the most beautiful, wonderful, exciting job, thrilling experience to do this podcast, and I was mentally prepared to walk away from it with tears in my eyes. And people, thousands and thousands of people have turned around and said, oh, no, you don't. You're going to do this. And so they are donating money and they are supporting this podcast, not just to support us, but to make this show available to anybody out there, regardless of their income or how out of the closet they may be, they can listen to this show and feel like they're part of a larger community.
Mm-hmm. So I want to thank Jeff in Birmingham, who writes, a friend of mine in Birmingham, David, got me listening back in April. The first time I donated was for his birthday. This time I'm donating for mine. I wish you guys luck. Keep on the podcast. Keep the podcast going. Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, we love you, sweetheart. Jeremiah, do you want to say something to Jeff? You do. Say it, but with a southern accent, though.
Jeff, we sure do appreciate your generosity.
And Robert in Appalachian, New York, thank you very much. Caitlin in Columbia, South Carolina.
Robert. Mm. Caitlin. Mm-hmm. Now, Brandon, say something. Say something for Caitlin.
Caitlin, you're a lifesaver, and we love you.
Aw. And James in New York writes, thank you so much for your podcast. I really enjoy listening to it every morning on my way to work or when I am on a plane going to some fun destination. I feel like I'm with friends when I listen. Jim from New York. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Hello, Jim.
And also thank you, Fabian in Cologne. I bet he smells good.
Oh, my.
He lives in Cologne, Germany.
He looks good. He's bi, you know.
He's
so.
Bi.
Which means, you,
aren't
you know,
they all there?
Yeah, you know, I love European men. Mm. I really do. It's like, they're just like, they're so chill. Your friend out there on the couch, she's just like, she's giving a thumbs up because she got some good loving from somebody.
Oh, you know it.
But Fabian, you know, he's gorgeous. And he's been listening to our show since the very beginning. And so for me, I can't wait one day, Fabian, we will hang out and drink some pints. Mm-hmm. And talk about your bisexuality.
Talking at length about your bisexuality.
Yes, sir.
So, Brett in Houston writes, wish I could do so much more. You guys have kept me company for years in my car, at the gym, heck, even in bed. Ooh.
I love being in people's ears as they're, you know, in
anytime
bed.
Anytime I want some comforting voices in my ear, I feel like we've been in a long-term three-way. Here's to it lasting.
Honey, we will always be together. Even if this podcast is, you know, if you've downloaded these shows, there's yours to keep forever. And so you
it's
can just
like
listen
it came
to
from
them.
The Franklin Mint.
Yeah. This limited collection series. You know.
And Blair and WeHo, thank you very much. Blair's a massage therapist, and he posts a lot of fun stuff in the Fresh section. So I want to thank you for that, Blair, too.
Yeah, and Blair is one of those listeners that he's kind of like the bedrock of the Feast of Fun site because he posts so much good quality content all the time that he's kind of like known to the other visitors of the site as one of the regular bloggers.
And Benjamin in West Palm Beach, Florida. Here's to many more. Thanks so much. Well, thank you, Benjamin. And Alfred in Austin, Texas. I got to say, Austin, especially of all the cities in Texas, Texas really altogether has really stepped up and really helped out. But Austin especially, it seems like.
Well, you know, my drag alter ego, Saltina Obama Bouvier, is from Caracola, Texas, the fruitcake capital of the world. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense that the people in Texas, the Lone Star State, are making us feel not so alone.
So Alfred writes, thanks for the wonderful podcast. I learned about you guys in late May. And I fell in love. Love the coming out show. I came out at 33, exactly 8 months after my first time. Ooh, I want to know what he did the first time. No regrets. Ripping the door of the closet open, and I'm loving life. Alfred in Texas.
Woo! Ain't gonna go back no more, baby. You know whose closet door is closing, though?
Who's that?
Blagojevich.
Oof.
Oh. Go back into the prison.
He'll get some prison action.
Oh, my God.
I wonder
God.
If he'll be able to keep that hair in prison. So the governor, a former governor of Illinois, was convicted on, like, several of the charges.
Most of them.
And he got off on, like, one or two.
And they interviewed the jurors because I think the last time that they went through all this, the jurors didn't want to talk to the media. And so the media started hounding them in their homes. Mm. And they're like, oh, no, you don't. Oh, you are not going to do this. So the judge set up a microphone and a video camera and said, I strongly recommend as jurors that you grant the media interviews so they don't bother you and you get this over and done with. Right. And so a lot of the jurors were saying that they actually thought Blagojevich was very charming and very charismatic, and it was very painful and difficult to convict him because they liked him so much as a person and found it very difficult to to say, this is a bad guy who did bad things.
Well, most politicians you find are likable. I mean, why did people vote for George Bush? They liked him. They thought he was like the guy you could have a beer with, even though he doesn't drink.
Yeah. You
know?
He used to.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, did he.
But like Blagojevich was charming. You know, he was a charming guy and people really enjoyed him. So we'll see what happens. I wonder how long he'll get.
One time I was at the gym changing clothes and this very attractive older African-American gentleman stops in his underwear and looks at me and says, say, has anyone ever told you you look like Blagojevich? And I was like, what? And I was like, and so I look in the mirror and like my hair that day looked like Blagojevich's. Because we both kind of like have weird forehead, big giant foreheads until we
that
comb
he covers
down
up
our,
with hair.
Yeah, we comb.
He travels with a stylist too. I think he was doing when he was going on his like cross country tour, talking on all the talk shows. Like he brought his stylist with him, and like nobody touches his hair but that stylist.
So he is. I guess he's convicted, and they're just going to figure out how long to send him to prison.
Yeah, it could be a long time or not too long. Yeah. Depends.
Wow.
You know, people are saying like if he goes away for too long, then he'll be like. He'll rat out all the people that he's ever done business with.
Oh, so he's gonna people will pay.
And who knows? Maybe after I think Obama will get elected the next next term, and maybe after that, maybe he'll give him a little pardon. Who knows? Or maybe not
a presidential pardon, because they usually do the presidential pardons when they
leave
the second term
else to lose.
On their way out.
Yes,
interesting.
They'll come up with some reason, like Patty will develop cancer magically, or one of the kids will be sick, and they're like, "We got to let him out so he can be with his family." It'll be on compassionate, and then she'll make a quick recovery, and they'll be in Rio de Janeiro
dancing the night. Well, I think the family's broke. They're like,
Well, I guess he wasn't able to sell that seat, huh?
But isn't Patty Blagojevich's, like, father some big real estate developer or something?
No, he's huge head honcho in the Democratic Party here in Chicago.
So he's...
He's like, they call him like a ward boss or something. I think he was part of a ward.
But he's got money.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
He's not going to let his daughter starve to death.
They've been greasing this machine for a long time.
Okay.
A long time.
Speaking of greasing the machine, CeeLo Green just dressed up as Patti LaBelle for a tribute to the diva. And don't get too excited. CeeLo magically grew facial hair to dress up as Patti LaBelle. Usually, I've seen CeeLo Green. He doesn't have any facial hair, but he put on a soul patch.
He has like a goatee often, doesn't he?
No. What, he didn't do it in his video, Fuck You, or whenever he's on the Voice.
I don't know, maybe.
So, yeah, and so
maybe
I was
they
like...
tried to masculinize him.
Yeah, because like, he was dressed up as Patti LaBelle.
How long before he comes out of the closet?
A year?
He did a tribute to Liberace in one of his videos. Now he's doing Patti LaBelle in drag. I mean... It's that closet door is going
to
swing open.
To all you haters out there who are keeping me in the closet, fuck you.
How did the two of you guys hook up together? How did you musically?
We actually met through Tom Goss because I reached out to Tom because I saw that he was in D.C. and a gay singer-songwriter from my hometown. So I just sent him an email and we started talking. So we decided to play a show together in New York, and Jeremiah came and played the show with us. It was at the Duplex, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I met him at that show, and then we started playing a bunch of shows around the East Coast together.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked me if I wanted to do the tour with him this summer. And I said, of course.
You guys could be brothers though. Lovers or maybe both.
Oh, wow. That's a movie in the making.
But really, you kind of have the similar, like you're both tall, blonde.
Well, I'm natural.
Jeremiah, you're not LeBron, Jeremiah.
Well, down south, you got to get them highlights,
And Brendan, you're equally an accomplished musician. You have a song for us to play today?
Yeah, I'm going to play This One's For You. It's a love song.
Oh,
I know. Everyone likes those. And it's actually about my first love, which was at 13.
You did have a crush in high school. That's great.
I did. Well, no, it was junior high. Yeah.
Oh.
And I pushed him away because I was not ready to come out. But we ended up meeting back up later in life in college and kind of had like a reunion and
a romance.
Did he turn out to be gay?
Not quite a romance. Oh, yeah, he was gay. He came out in high school, actually.
Wait, hold on a second. So your 13-year-old crush, you later on got to reconcile and connect with him as an adult.
Yeah.
And did anything happen? Did you kiss him?
Oh,
finally?
Yeah.
Did you hold him naked in your arms?
I did.
Did you guys have to fool around?
We did.
Oh,
that's awesome!
But I thought what was really nice about it was that he never really gave up on me, even though I kind of really hurt him because we were best friends, and I kind of ended our friendship because I was too scared. And
sure.
Well, you're gorgeous. Why would anybody not stalk you for days till
for decades?
Well,
thank you. I'm blushing.
It's true. So this one is for you, your 13-year-old lover named... What's his name?
His name was Matt.
I haven't seen your face in years. And I can't remember the taste of your skin, but I still recall getting lost in your eyes and being afraid more than I'd ever been. But I will, yes, I will. I will always love you. So this one's for you. Shown me who I am. Though I wasn't ready at the time for it, so I tried to push you away. But you stuck around, no, you never quit. So I will always love you, and this one's for you. So when you feel alone and nobody's picking up the phone, just let this song be your guide, 'cause I'm always by your side. And I will, yes I will. I will always love you, and this one's for you. No matter what you're going through, this'll always be true, that this one's for.
Fantastic.
Wow. Thank you. So where's Matt now?
I think he's in Milwaukee. I think he's just moved in with his boyfriend. He's got a long-term boyfriend as well. So,
but he still he would leave him in a minute for you, wouldn't he?
I don't think so.
What happened to you guys? Hooked up again in college. You had a brief fling, and then what happened?
Well, then I moved to New York.
Oh, so you left him?
Well, there was never really. I was already going to be moving when we started talking again. So there was really never.
But was there like a romance there? Was it the same kind of heat from when you were young, or was
it? Well, I just think that there was something that was never completed, you know, in
which was
from the crush.
What? Say that again?
Which was his dick inside your mouth, or I don't know.
Hey now,
I just make it a little plain joke.
Hey now, I'm a lady.
But it was
so we're not going to talk about your transition then. That's my new joke. Anyone ever tells you, like, hey, girl, I said, honey, I transitioned 5 years ago, and it's very rude of you to bring that up again.
Yeah. Right in my face.
I identify as male now.
So, but it was just, like, the passion wasn't there, or was it?
No, it was, and we stayed in contact for the first few years when I was in New York, but, you know, there was distance, and it was, like, almost that we were in love with the idea of what we had before, and so, like, it was just... It just never, timing never worked out. And then,
I want to know what you said to him the first time you saw him as an adult. It was like, remember when I used to want to kiss you as one of the kids? I mean, was it like that?
No.
Or were you embarrassed to like bring it up?
It was, well, it ended up, he ended up being friends with my best friend from high school. And they ended up being basically, they ended up moving in together in Milwaukee because she was going to school up there. Mm-hmm. And so like all of a sudden he was just like back in my life because my friend, my best friend was living with him.
And
now.
At this point in time, you had come out by then.
No, okay. 'Cause then in high school I had a relationship and I did come out, but then he went back in the closet. And so I did, 'cause I freaked out again.
Okay.
And then, so I was still in like, I'm bi phase, you know, right. When I met him again. And because I didn't fully come out until I moved to New York when I was 24. So.
Wow. Well, you made up for lost time, honey. You know what I'm saying? You know,
coming out as bi is might as well just come out as gay.
Exactly. But you know, it's a stepping stone.
I often wonder what it would be like, though, because I used to have a crush on Alan, who used to live a couple houses down from me. And
he's listening to the show right now.
Maybe. I was wondering whatever happened to him, because he moved away.
Stay away from my man.
We could go back and do things all over again.
You know, I think like my school crushes, they all either died.
I'm like Madonna. Horrible, miserable death.
Like Madonna.
You're like
all
the Black Widow
role
or something.
All models are dead, except you, Oprah. You're still alive.
Speaking of Black Widows, we met this guy at a party at Over Pride, and he had this crazy ass, like a scar up his forearm on the inside. It was deep and it was crazy. And he had said that he was in a gay bar in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and he got bit by a Black Widow spider. And I'm like,
in the bar?
I guess. He's like, he goes, I came home from the bar and then it just started to swell up and just started swelling up. And he goes, my arm was like a boxing glove. It got that big. And he's like, they had to cut it open just to release all the fluid and drain it from the inside. But I'm just like, God, did Black Widow spiders live that far up north?
I guess they do. I know that I have family in Utah. Yeah.
Oh, they do?
And they have them there in Utah. So I'm assuming, I know they're moving east and north. So,
because you are Mormon, though. I was raised Mormon.
No. I left the church when I was 16.
It is possible to be gay and a Mormon. Is it?
Well,
no, I guess not.
It's not, technically. No. You can be gay, but you can't act on it. So, like, if you're acting on it, then they excommunicate you.
That might change someday when they discover they can make... can't make money from being gay haters. When they're like, we make more money by being positive.
The same way
gay.
That they, all of a sudden, God told them that they could let Black people be in the church in the 70s, so...
Oh, that's what it... Are there a lot of Black Mormons? Mm-hmm. Not very many.
I guess not... In Utah, per se, but outside of that, because they're all over the world now. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the world.
You know what we need to do is we need to take some gold tablets and be like, you need to start loving gay people and just like leave it on their doorstep.
Yeah, and I could translate them through a bag.
I think it'd be better if the people took the gold that we're going to use to make those tablets and donate it to the podcast Feast of Fun, honey, because it's like...
Gold's worth a lot of money right now. That would be... That probably gets you over your goal.
Yeah, Mr. T, melt those chains. You know what I'm saying? Set them over here. Ed McMahon, bendito. How sad. He's like, one of the last projects he did was those Cash for Gold.
Wanted to cash in before he died.
I want to tell, some of these listeners have jewelry sitting in their...
It's true. They
have jewelry sitting in their dresser drawer.
Some of them have just garages filled with stuff. They could have a yard sale.
It's like Scrooge McDuck in their garage. But I'm saying for people who have like one or two, things that they're like, well, it is expensive, but you're never ever going to wear it. Why don't you cash it in and send it to Feast of Fun? It's like, that's how it would make something permanent last.
It's true.
You know, I want to know about your first... This is an interesting question. Instead of asking people's coming out stories, and we already know yours, Brandon, is Jeremiah, what was your first gay kiss with another guy?
My first gay kiss was in the parking lot of a department store in a Buick with some guy named Mitchell.
And how'd you meet him?
He was a friend of a friend of a friend's friend.
And how old were you?
I was 17.
And that was, what went through your mind when you first started kissing him? And you're like...
He totally had DSL, though I didn't know what DSL was back then. But
You mean like the digital internet?
No, dick sucking lips.
Oh.
So he had these really voluptuous lips and they just like enveloped your face.
Dick sucking lips.
DSL, And and so they just like enveloped my face and I was like, oh, this is amazing. He was also Colombian, so he grew up in Colombia, so he was very passionate.
And
uncut. Yes. Perhaps.
Wow. Oh. I'm just going to sit here quietly and reflect on that for a second. So we got some interesting comments and questions here from our listeners on Feast of Fun, the Facebook page. Manish wants to wish us a happy Pride from San Francisco. Matthew Icarus, I've heard rumors that the New York marriage law created a loophole so that anyone can get married there, and they are required to be treated as married anywhere in the United States. Do you guys know that's true? Because I'm heading to New York if it is.
I don't know anything about that loophole, and I'm kind of thinking, do you know anything about
it? Well, I know that the loophole is that they say that you don't have to be a resident to get married in New York. So basically, you can go there and be married. But I think that's the only loophole that I've heard about so far.
But I don't think you have to, like, to get a civil union here in Illinois. I don't think you have to be a resident of Illinois to get one. But the thing is, though, too, is like right now with DOMA hanging over your head, that you can't force another state to recognize your gay marriage. So
yeah, and so it's not, you know, now other states can choose to recognize it. They just can't be required to do it. Mm-hmm. Let's change forced to required. You know, it's almost like it's as if gay people are pointing guns at the government saying, we're gonna attack if you don't give us our rights. Really?
Mike Gonzalez writes, I'm hoping the New York win will start a new domino effect for us. How long do you guys think it will take for marriage equality across the entire United States?
Well, it's in Chicago, it's in Illinois, it's in California and New York City, so does it really matter?
Iowa and
anywhere else?
Yeah, we played in Iowa on Pride, and I was like, well, at least we're New York is finally as liberal as Iowa. That was the big thing in New York. We were all like, after it didn't pass a few years ago, we were all just like,
how can Iowa
be more liberal than New York?
Everybody asks that question. And you like look at California, Cali's like, how did we lose it?
Yeah.
And Iowa got it.
Now Iowa is the hip, you know, edgy state.
Because we have horrible, miserable politicians on both sides of the aisle. It's a bipartisan issue, being an asshole. And, you know, they move very slowly, and they're more concerned with being elected than pretty much anything else. Cassandra Fever, today is the anniversary of Stonewall. Cassandra is the personal assistant and one of the best-known Elvira impersonators.
But she's also a personal assistant to Cassandra Peterson, who plays Elvira.
Talk about a mindfuck there. And we're actually going to get both of them on the show, which is going to be very exciting. We have an announcement later this week about that. We have a history. Let's remember those brave queens who initiated the gay rights movement. The real pride. New York just gave us another boost. Well, you know, the gay rights movement was actually initiated by poor people that had to drink at the Stonewall Inn because a lot of the wealthy gays would really hook up at the opera and at Judy Garland's show. And, you know, as I actually asked Terrence McNally, like during the Stonewall riots, did you think change was happening? You know, this is one of the best known gay playwrights in the country right now. And he said, I was in Europe at the time.
Well, the whole thing
I had
is
somebody
like,
keep, I think everybody should,
and
home.
You can probably go to PBS's website, The American Experience, and see the documentary Stonewall Uprising. It wasn't just the queens. The queens all love to say it was the queens. It wasn't just the queens. And it was certainly not the start of the gay rights movement. It galvanized the movement.
The way I like to say it is the events of Stonewall, because the Stonewall One wasn't a single riot. It was a series of riots, and it was events leading up to it, and events leading after it. So it's kind of like it recontextualized the way this country looked at civil rights when it comes to LGBT people. And, you know, when I heard on Friday, because I was like, I actually delayed going to the gym because of waiting for the decision on the Marriage Act. And people were reporting from New York City that the whole crowd was gathering around the Stonewall Inn and that the police were trying to break it up, and the crowd was like, fuck no, we are not moving.
Well, and they raided the Eagle that night too, which is the leather bar in town, and they
police, raided it
and they said it was just, well, it wasn't a raid, it was they were doing an inspection for liquor license and all that, but it just happened to line up with right before the reading, you know, the reading of the passage was about to happen. So there's a lot of controversy right now in New York about whether that was planned or whether that was like the police going, well, we're still, you know, here, you know.
We're here and we still don't like that you're queer. But yeah, I guess they went in there, they made people like empty their pockets.
Their wallets. Yeah, with no probable cause.
Now, is the Eagle in New York, does that have one of those back rooms where you can have a little hanky-panky?
I've never been, as you can see. Because
you're a Mormon.
Yes, I'm.
Give it time. But
what we could do here, I'll take you to the back of the apartment, and you could see what it's like. We can recreate it. We'll just stand there, not talk to each other for about 20 minutes. Then I'll just start to rub up against you, and you know, pull out my dick, and you can treat it. You know,
it's so. But that's so just like I'm sure it is, though. It probably is, right? I don't know.
What is what?
Well, I'm sure if it's the Eagle, there probably is a room like that. Do you
it
know,
may
Jeremiah?
Or may not, you
well,
know?
I mean, we're not necessarily the demographic that goes to the Eagle,
right.
But I've heard stories.
They would look at me a little weird if I walked in there.
I don't think so. You'd be surprised.
Oh, honey, you'd be like prime you'd be like, real estate.
Here comes dessert.
Magician John Sterk, whose Facebook photo is the photo that we took where he... cropped out did Feast of Fun out
oh,
of it.
Did he really?
Yes.
You know, I don't like it when people do that.
I don't like when people crop out the fact, and they don't even mention where the photo came from.
Oh,
hint to you too. John Sterk, how about all those politicians who joined the parade this year? I was marching with Congressman Mike Quigley, whose district includes Boys Town. I was really happy to see so many elected officials participating, including our new mayor. Why wouldn't they? Hopefully, this energy carries through to the 2012 elections. Of course it will. I mean, you know, that's the thing about pride is it's a celebration of our achievements. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's always like, how can I be proud of something that I am? And I'm like, well, it's not about who you are. It's what your community, what people like you have accomplished. I mean, think about how much has changed in 42 years since Stonewall. It's crazy.
It's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the internet is here, you know? I mean, it was just like, nobody asks you what you do in bedroom anymore because they could just Google it.
And they know everything. The thing about Pride, though, too, is I really like that it's really people are embracing the celebration, the wackiness. And I know it used to be more of a political act, but I think that, you know, our political machine is so much more better now that we deserve just that one day where we can really forget the horrible politics and focus on just the good stuff.
You have the right to be like Snooki. You have to fight for your right to party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's otherwise, true. That right will be taken away. If you don't exercise your rights to be a drunken mess in public,
exactly.
No one's going to do that for
no
you.
No one will.
That's why you got to drink your drink. Now, I do understand for my friends who choose not to drink or cannot drink, I understand why now more than ever why they don't drink.
Because what comes after pride? Shame.
No, hangovers. Really, it's you know, and we're. I mean,
but I think part of a hangover though is the shame, isn't it?
What a shame about what?
I don't because the stuff that you do or the way you feel or you're like.
Listen,
oh.
I was proud. I met a lot of interesting people. Shout out to Michael. Shout out to Andrew. Shout out to Jimmy. Shout out to Mark with a K, your friend. Shout out to Melanie. We had a lovely time. Shout out to Scott, the actor / massage therapist. You know what I'm talking about. And all those lovely, lovely people that we met. And then we, in Chicago, they did this first thing. They extended the party. So they had a Pride North over on Morse Avenue.
But I call it Pride North of 40 because everybody was over 40. But it was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
There was a lot of people I've lived in this neighborhood for about 12 years, you know, or even before. Let's say I've lived in this neighborhood 3 years before I even met Mark.
Really? You moved here in 96?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Up to Uptown. And so, you know, there's a lot of people I've had sex with at that event. I was like, I had sex with you, sex with you, sex with you.
I wondered why all these people were running from him. They're just like, oh, shit.
Talking cover.
But it is. It's like all my exes live north of Foster.
Lawrence.
North of Lawrence, yeah. It's like...
Leland.
Leland, really. So right now in Sweden... They're kicking off a genderless preschool.
Mm-hmm. It's a genderless preschool, so it's like the first of probably many because they're really trying to make gender and people thinking about the concept of gender being not so stringent, so that girls aren't like, oh, I have to grow up and I have to be a mommy and I'm going to be a nurse and the guy's going to be a doctor, because they think that like kids learn these things very early on, and so they're just like, we're not trying to take gender away. We're just trying to liberate how they think about it. So instead of using...
And how they think about themselves and their potential as human beings.
Yeah. And so they're not using words like him or her. They're using hen, which is like kind of like a new made-up word for them.
Hen?
Hen. It doesn't mean necessarily chicken. H-E-N. Because like him and her is probably like han and hon. So now it's just hen. Whereas like it's kind of like the equivalent of like
y'all.
No, like Z, like trans people that like to use the word Z or R.
See, but if you look towards Southern folks, they've already been using gender neutral pronouns all along. like y'all.
Well, you all is still you is, yeah. But
but they say
how
y'all.
How do you say him or her?
It's like
you all is plural of
y'all.
You.
You know, y'all are just giving me a hangover, girls. You know, but well, I guess that's not gender.
That's no. Exactly how
girls. But they use exactly. Like the thing about it in the South, like really, like y'all is like Smurf. You know, it's just used in all sorts of places that don't really belong there.
Okay, I don't know. I just usually it's y'all is like you all.
Okay,
so it's but plural.
So they're going Zim
which
and
is
where,
well, you're from Pittsburgh. And they use
you're living in Pittsburgh.
No, they're well, living there, but they use yens there, which is yens. Even this is weirder than y'all. Do you come across yens very often?
I say it all the time.
Do you really?
I do.
Let's hear it in a sentence.
Yens guys going downtown and out.
That's how they talk there. It's so weird.
Okay. It's very strange.
And it's like, so, yeah, it's really it's a very unusual accent. It's kind of hard to imitate. And it's like, you don't always find it in the city, but sometimes like around.
It's always the suburbs.
Yeah, around the suburbs. And you go eat like at Applebee's and your waiter, you're like, where are you from here? And you're like, and you actually speak like that every day.
But isn't that every waiter at every Applebee's?
No, I think like when you're in the suburbs here in Chicago, people just have that, you know, Midwest accent and they just talk real nice and friendly.
It's like Tom Goss. Yeah. He says Fostel. he don't know how to pronounce my name after so many years, so he talks, you know, a little bit like that, you know.
He's you know? Listening to the show, to be nice.
Well, I learn how to pronounce my name.
Teach Tom how to say your name.
Fausto.
So it has a diphthong in there. The AU produces its own sound. Ow, foul.
But Americans have a hard time with diphthongs.
But especially
a diphthong is a combination of hard vowels. So AU, Fausto. Ow! Right.
So anyway, so the sequel, yeah. They don't have any Snow White or Cinderella or classic fairy tale books. And most of them deal with like homosexual parents or single parents or adopted kids, you know, and you know, or like giraffes, two gay giraffes that want to have a baby, so they adopt a crocodile.
That's a really interesting. I wonder how those kids will grow up. You know, is it going to be like the marshmallow experiment? They'll be like compulsive, or they'll be very patient.
They're probably just going to be kind of open-minded, because I think also, you know, they're not shying away from, like, you know, you're a boy or you're a girl as far as anatomy goes. They're just trying to figure out, like, you know, what's equal, what's you know, so that the kids have the same value on whether a girl does a job or a boy does a job.
And then in India, which is the other side of the coin, there's a whole new industry exploding, and this sounds terribly disturbing. Mm. Is they're forcing sex changes on babies,
on baby girls, because boys are more valuable. So sometimes mothers will just have abortions, but if they're born like as a girl, they'll sometimes give them a sex change. So they're actually investigating in one area. They're saying one doctor has had performed over 300 surgeries to make little girls into boys.
And a lot of, you know, F to M's here in this country, female to male trans people, are just like going, wish they would have done that with me.
Well, but the thing is, like, one out of 100 babies has some kind of, like, ambiguous genitalia. So it's normally kind of, you know, can work itself out, or or they have surgery to make it one sex or the other. Nowadays, most parents are encouraged to wait to see how their child identifies. So if you think your child is going to be a boy or a boy, then you wait. Or if you know a girl, because before they were always like ambiguous genitalia, make it a girl. They'll be happier. It'll be easier. And so they're forcing, you know, these little boys to become girls, and then they're growing up later on like, why do I feel like a dude?
Well, I know one, this big lug who is like, he was like a 6'5". Mm-hmm. He was kind of an obnoxious person, but he was born of ambiguous genitalia, intersex, and he had ovaries and testicles, and his chromosomes were like XXY or XYY. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but as an adult, they discovered he had ovaries, and they had to operate to remove them. And then he's like, as he's been taking all these like combination of testosterone and estrogen all his life, and he is like, so when he shoots up, he's kind of crazy. Like, and he'll even say like, "I'm sorry, I was weird that day. I had just like shot up estrogen, or I had shot up testosterone." And
so he's taking kind of a combination of both.
Well, because he's trying to, because your body goes through
cycles,
you know. And so if you're like intersexed, I guess, and you want to develop into a man, you have to sort of like manipulate those. I'm not sure exactly what he was taking, but it was. it was really fascinating, and at the same time, it made him a very eccentric person, to say the least.
So they're investigating this doctor because they're thinking like they're just doing it because parents want to have a boy, and like because a boy, you know, you don't have to worry about financially, like a girl you have to marry off. So I guess the surgery costs about $3,000, and they think, hey, it'll pay off eventually.
I'm sure, you know, for a lot of trans people, it's like that's a bargain.
Yeah, but these are children.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry.
These are babies that they're doing this. The other thing is that too is like once they get older, they're gonna have to put them on hormones, and the genitalia. How is that even gonna really develop?
Well, and the other thing too is that from all the research that we've been doing over the course of years, that our knowledge of how these chemicals interact with the human body, and even which chemicals are, because they haven't even identified all of them, that are sex hormones or have androgenic compounds. So they're discovering recently that soy has a lot for men is like terrible because it actually mimics estrogen. And so in Japan, they have a terrible problem because a lot of men are developing prostate cancer because of it. And a lot of the soy that we eat is genetically modified, so it's not even...
And now there's soy in everything that you eat, and modified soy protein, so it's just, you know...
Which I say is a conspiracy to force feminized men. Mm.
But it makes your skin so lustrous.
And I feel so free and
soy esters.
That's right. And last but not least, like, you know, talk about, you know, well, gender. Talk about... this is a cat pretending it's a dog. This was shot in a Russian and it's gone viral. It's been seen over 1.2 million times since it was posted in June. And it's going around the internet and it's check this out. Even listening to it is amazing. It's an owner catching his cat barking like a dog, and then the cat turns around and starts meowing like a cat. I mean, woof.
I think that cat's in heat.
That's freaky.
That's what it is. It wants to get,
but it's like,
to get pounded.
It's like facing out the window. Is it like trying to scare away dogs or?
I think it's calling a mate. I think that's its mating call. It wants some sex.
Yeah, that's now reflecting on it, it's not trying to imitate a dog. It's trying to attract another cat.
Maybe.
I
don't know.
Get some pussy, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, crocodiles, and I think it was it New Zealand or somewhere, South Pacific, or was it South America, have learned how to bark like dogs to attract dogs.
So stray dogs.
Dogs will come over to the water because they're like, oh, what's that barking? And then the next thing you know, it's chomp. Lunch.
And wild cats in other parts of the world have discovered how to make the sound of monkeys because they eat. Monkeys.
Really?
Yeah. So they're like,
you're making that up, really?
No, Google it.
Like,
listen, if you ever have anybody making a statement like that, just get Google wild cats eating monkeys.
So you're saying wild cats, like, so you're, I assume, like, you're talking like a jaguar.
Yeah, not like a house cat.
Okay. Well, it's like house cats can, like, do, like, bird chirpings. They try and attract birds sometimes by doing a little chirp.
Yeah.
And then they'll come and snatch them up.
So what species, what animals know how to bark like dogs? As a humans, alligators, cats?
Birds, I could imitate that, I'm sure.
Yeah, a parrot going,
woof, woof, woof. I don't think as a predator.
Is there any other
squirrels,
animals?
Maybe. I saw the story that these squirrels in Russia, they were in this forest. They're like these scary red squirrels that they like would prey on dogs as a group. They would like they were killing dogs.
Nah, really?
Yeah. It was on CNN like a few years ago, and it was like the weirdest story I've ever seen. These squirrels were hunting in packs.
Too hot for Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that is fascinating. So there you go. And that's all the show we have for you guys today. Remember that, you know, sometimes when you're searching for a mate, it just might be in a cat barking like a dog.
And then you're like, what?
What? I mean, woof, woof. I mean, meow, meow. That's what I'm supposed to be, right? A cat? Meow. So we want to thank you so much, Jeremiah Clark. Your music is beautiful as you are.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for bringing your friend Brandon Anderson, who's equally gorgeous and
Thanks.
Fantastic singer.
Great to be here.
You know, I gotta tell you guys, you musicians, when you're traveling together, get some songs together. Do like an Island in the Stream.
Together? We do some songs together.
You do?
Oh. We're working on it.
Okay. Well, next time you guys are on, we'll do that. But you're gonna leave us with a song that's 1, 2, 3, 4?
It's 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm dyslexic, so it's really difficult for me to keep track of it.
He's like, maybe that is what it's called.
Who knows? I forget.
So it's like for children. It's like learn how to count.
4, 3, 2, 1.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Exactly.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that's all we have for you today, Jeremiah, Brandon. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I'm Fausto Fornos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Take a knife, razor sharp, and carefully remove our faces from photographs and our bodies too. I place them on the scenery in a travel magazine. With a steady hand, I fasten them so others might believe we're not playing pretend. I remedy the empty space with bought and borrowed goods and put a plant so strong and tall where you always stood. I set the scene with stage lights on when company arrives. You're merely off on business calls so that they don't deny that we're not playing pretend. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's not a game if it's not any fun, and I always seek you out when you hide. I've been in for far too long. I'm past the point of being wrong. So maybe I should be the one to run. But what from? To bite down hard when hearing house keys turn. Eyes of fear come up at first, a loss you've never earned. I saved a spot for you to stand and push the plan aside with arms around the only sound you'd hear is just a sigh. 'Cause we're not playing pretend. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's not a game if it's not any fun, and I always seek you out when you hide. I've been in for far too long. I passed the point of being wrong. So maybe I should be the one to run. But what from? Oh. not a game if it's not any fun. 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm counting down days.